Good afternoon. It's 12:07. This is Midday Matters on WBOY Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. Very glad to be with you on this Monday afternoon. On today's program, we're going to be talking about the recent homicides in Fort Wayne, what local officials are doing to investigate those cases, and what can be done to prevent more in the future. With me, of course, as usual on a Monday, it's Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel. Bob, good afternoon.
Hi, Sean. Good to be here.
Thanks very much for being with us once again. And joining us for this hour, Fort Wayne Police Chief Rusty York. Chief, thanks for coming back on our program.
You bet, Sean. Thank you.
And with us as well, Special Agent Dave Crawford from the FBI's Fort Wayne office. Agent Crawford, thanks very much to you for being with us as well.
Thanks for having me back, Sean.
I want to start here, Chief, we'll start with you, with just a kind of a status update. Where are we in terms of the number of homicides in Fort Wayne, just Fort Wayne so far this year? What can you tell us?
Well, in Allen County, we've had 15 homicides reported so far this year. One occurred in the county. Two were police action shootings. And one was a gentleman that died this year. He was shot back in 1980, where technically that's a homicide. We count 11 because that's how we report to the FBI's uniform crime report.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and looking back, it's just hard to forecast with homicides, and you can't necessarily say, well, we've had 11 so far this year, so our count's going to be way up.
You can't just multiply out.
Correct. We can't
this many in 3 months. So
right, and looking back, there's been two other times, actually three other times over the last 10 years where we've been this high or very very close to this at this time of the year. We usually, if you can say there's an average, we usually have about 24 homicides each year.
Hmm.
But you know, the violence is very disturbing. Like I say, most of our homicides this year have involved gangs, guns, and drugs. And most, you know, we had one, obviously, that was a domestic violence-related homicide, but the rest were basically people who chose to be in that lifestyle and had been involved in some other crimes in the past. And
I want to talk a little bit more about those causes and those situations in just a little bit. Before we go on, though, can you explain just a little bit of the difference between the UCR and you know, a lot of folks hearing that number, 15 homicides in Fort Wayne?
Well,
there's a difference because there is a difference between those numbers.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, one occurred in the county, so they mm-hmm. will be reporting that one
right.
Instead of the city of Fort Wayne. The UCR does not require us to report a homicide where the injury occurred in previous years, where that person then dies in the current year.
Mm-hmm.
And also, any justifiable type of homicide is not counted. So when you look at that, there's been 11 homicides in the city of Fort Wayne that we will report so far this year to the FBI.
And a lot of our listeners will remember back to last month, which seemed like a particularly violent year,
mm-hmm.
or a violent month, I should say. And one event in particular, a hostage situation that developed over the course of an entire day. Are events like that abnormal when you're looking at crimes like this in Fort Wayne?
Well, actually, you know, we've done a lot as far as the domestic violence-related homicides because typically in the past, before we seen more of the gang-involved homicides, it was more heat of the moment or domestic-related homicides. It's been about 10 years ago that we had some very disturbing crimes involving domestics where there were homicides, suicides, children involved. So that's when we formed our domestic violence task force, trying to get, you know, these violent people out of relationships earlier on. But, you know, what I can say, Sean, is it's been interesting to watch over the last probably 6 weeks where the community is really getting fed up with the violence and coming forward more than I've seen in my tenure as chief, and that's been over 13 and a half years. And I think that's really been the reason why we've been able to solve several of these recent homicides.
I know we've heard calls from groups like the NAACP and many others for residents to keep their eyes opened and get involved in reporting.
Correct.
Bob Kaler.
Chief, I'd like you to expand on that just a little bit, if you can. I know that there was a lot of immediate witness cooperation involvement on the shooting at Indiana and Rudisill.
Correct.
And then you had kind of a captive busload of witnesses to work with in the domestic that turned into a hostage situation. What are some of the other cases where you've had good witness response that maybe hasn't been as high profile as that? Because I think people look at that as a turning point.
Well, after the domestic homicide, you're right. There were quite a few witnesses. So early on, we knew who we were looking for as a suspect. But it was information from the public that led us to the house where he ultimately was holding that hostage. Then our last homicide, the one on Hugh Street, we had several neighbors that came forward, and they were able to identify the suspect early on. You know, we had another, which I think is unusual, situation over the weekend where we had a shooting, and we had actually the victim come in, and that might sound unusual where a victim comes in, but many times victims choose not to give any information to the police, but came in at 4 o'clock in the morning, identified the perpetrator, and advised that it was, part of a crime that he was involved in at an earlier date. So I think, people are becoming more aware that to keep the community safe, they have to definitely get involved. And, the people in these gangs, they're seeing that, silence can be deadly if they don't help get these perpetrators off the street.
I want to get to Agent Crawford in just a moment here, but you're saying that victims very often won't report details of being shot, who they were shot by, what happened in a situation?
Usually people, again, involved in a gang lifestyle. The hospitals will call us because, they have to report gunshots, and many times victims are very uncooperative. Many times.
We want to invite our listeners to join the conversation this hour, 260-452-1185, if you have a question or comment for our guests this hour. You can always email us, middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. It's @middaymatters. Special Agent Dave Crawford, I want to bring you into the conversation. And a lot of folks might not know that the FBI works so closely with the Fort Wayne Police. Tell us a little bit about your role and the Bureau's role in looking at these crimes in the city.
Sure. Well, there are a myriad of federal laws gangs tend to violate. And with the FBI being the primary investigative arm of the federal government, we're expected to do what we can to mitigate the threat of violent gangs. And one of the ways that we do that is through our Safe Streets Initiative, which began nationwide in 1992 and began here in Fort Wayne in 2009. And essentially, in a nutshell, what that Safe Streets Initiative is it's a task force initiative. So it's FBI agents working every day side by side with here in Fort Wayne, officers from the Fort Wayne Police Department, Allen County Police Department, and the Indiana State Police. And the goal is to dismantle as many gangs as possible, usually through long-term investigations that lead to the prosecution of federal racketeering crimes.
So when you get a call, when you hear that there has been a gang-related homicide in Fort Wayne, how does that information work its way through the Bureau? What can you do with that information?
Well, there are a couple different ways that we receive that information. One example is the task force officers that Chief York has assigned to that FBI task force. One of them is actually on the homicide call-out team. Okay, so we receive information that way, but we have constant communication with the robbery homicide detectives at Fort Wayne Police Department. And we use that information then to build our case, our long-term investigation, for the ultimate goal of federal prosecution of racketeering crimes.
We're going to take just a quick break here. We hope you'll get in touch with us in the meantime. Once again, 260-452-1185. Facebook.com, Twitter as well, and you can email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
Nurse Charlie Cullen worked in 8 hospitals and killed dozens of patients before being arrested in 2003. On the next Fresh Air, journalist Charles Graber, author of The Good Nurse, A True Story of Medicine, Madness, and Murder, explains how Cullen was able to evade detection for 10 years. Join us.
This afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
After more than 5 years in prison and 5 more on probation, former high school football star Brian Banks was exonerated last year, his rape conviction thrown out. Now he's signed a contract with the Atlanta Falcons years after he gave up his dream to play professional football. I'm Neil Conan, getting your life back after exoneration. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This afternoon at 2 p.m. here on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by United Way of Allen County, working together with 15 local early childhood and youth serving organizations to help kids in the community be prepared for learning in school and beyond. UWEducationNetwork.org. Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Indiana Tech Law School, opening in Fort Wayne, August 2013. Information on admissions and curriculum online at indianatech.edu/law or 855-TECH-LAW.
Here at WBOY, it's Midday Matters. I'm Sean Beter, along with Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel, and with us this hour in the studio, Fort Wayne Police Chief Rusty York and Special Agent Dave Crawford from the Fort Wayne Office of the FBI. We want you to get in touch with us today. We're talking about shootings and homicides in Fort Wayne, what's being done to prevent them, and what can we do, in fact, to prevent them. We want your input, your questions and comments, 260-452-1185, toll free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet at middaymatters. We have a few callers on the line here. Let's open up the phones and go to Carlito. Carlito, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. The chief mentioned that some of the killings were drug-related. I don't mean to be morbid, but killing each other over drugs and money seems a little bizarre to me. But what kind of drugs and what kind of values are we talking about these people will kill each other over?
Chief York.
Well, I agree. It does seem bizarre, but I think we're dealing with a lifestyle that many times it's not even as significant as drugs or money. It can just be some type of beef that years ago would have been settled with a fist fight that turns into a shooting. But I would say cocaine, marijuana, really the dollar amounts we aren't seeing is being that high. I know we had a shooting this past weekend over $5,000. So
off the top of your head, can you recall, I mean, on an annual basis, what kind of money we're talking about? I mean, if it's $5,000 a pop over the course of a year, that adds up.
That's really hard to say. And again, we're not looking at anything that's really super organized. We're talking about small groups or cliques dealing with drugs. It's not a major organization. So we're not talking lots and lots of money.
All right. Carlito, we appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you for answering my question. It's really sad that people kill each other over money. But that's the economist in me that kind of wants to know that answer. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Carlito. 260-452-1185, toll-free at 800-471-9264. Looks like we have another caller on the line here. Let's open the phones and go to Daniel. Daniel, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to take a similar tack to the previous caller, and it seems like I have a question of whether we're fighting a losing battle, because back in Prohibition of alcohol, there was the glorification of the gang lords back in those days, and now in movies and music and such, the new kind of gangs with drugs are sometimes glorified, but the legalization of marijuana is also another thing that's going on. Maybe it's a gateway to other harder drugs, but just taking a survey of what's going on in our society, is this a losing battle? Is it something that we're focusing on the supply side of that black market as compared to maybe the consumer side? Like, it seems if there's no market for, well, if we could remove the market for the consumer side of the drugs, then there wouldn't be any reason to have the supply side to go after. So maybe I'm missing a few things there that you folks could fill in for me, but that's kind of the question that I have.
And Daniel, I think you've revealed the really the complexity of this question. Let's put your comments to Agent Crawford.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I understand there's debate out there regarding quote unquote the war on drugs, and are we winning it, and should we continue it? Let's take drugs specifically out of the equation here. Let's look at the fact that many of these gangs are committing crimes that oftentimes have nothing to do with drugs. So, for example, robberies, and the fact that a particular gang is attempting, or gang members are attempting to gain some sort of financial advantage, and the answer is robbery. Okay, so to say that we should just sit on our hands and not enforce the laws that are in place that are meant to, and I'll put it bluntly, put gang members in prison and get them off the streets, probably wouldn't be the answer, because again, it's more than just drugs that are being sold. You've got the robberies, you've got drive-by shootings, and again, as the chief had already alluded to, some of these are a result of arguments that sometimes have nothing to do with drugs, and again, are arguments that in the old days could have been settled with a fist fight.
Daniel, we appreciate your question. Thanks very much.
Sure, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye. If you'd like to get in touch with us this hour with your question or comment, 260-452-1185, or you can email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Of course, our Facebook and Twitter pages are up as well. Dave Crawford, I want to kind of hit on a point that our first caller got to, that this is, it's not just strictly about drugs. It's about culture, and it's about money. I mean, a lot of gang activity comes from poverty.
Yes, and again, I'm well aware that the sale of drugs, the distribution of drugs, is can be a moneymaker, but there are other crimes, cargo theft, for example. Now, we're not seeing that being committed by our street gangs here, but there are gangs nationwide committing cargo theft, non-drug-related cargo theft, again, for the purpose of obtaining some sort of financial gain.
Bob Kaler.
Dave, are there any crimes other than robbery and the drug trade that there's a pattern of local gangs being involved in?
I would say street-level weapon distribution, and oftentimes that weapon distribution, is the root can be traced back to not necessarily large-scale gun traffickers bringing in truckloads of guns into the city of Fort Wayne, but thefts, burglaries, those sorts of crimes.
Okay.
So gun sales, drug sales, robberies, as you've already mentioned, those are the key the key crimes that are being committed.
Well, a question for both of you. I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about what you're doing proactively in assembling intelligence on gang members and people who associate with them so that you have a map to look at when you start investigating.
Well, I think certainly David could go into more detail about what his task force is working on, but locally with Fort Wayne Police Department, we're very data-driven. And, you know, that's what we do every day is analyze not just what's going on with gangs, but crime throughout the city, who's involved, where they're involved. And then once a week, we have what we call ComStat. It's every Thursday morning, where not only the Fort Wayne Police Department convenes, but also FBI, ATF, prosecutor's office, probation, parole. And, you know, we go over... actually who's doing what. And,
what individuals, groups are
correct.
Doing what?
Groups and individuals. Hmm. So, you know, that's what we not only tried to target the areas where perhaps burglaries are going to occur, but the individuals themselves. And as Dave said, if we can get them off the street, that's what we need to do. We also have a gang unit that works closely with Dave's unit. And also we have what we call a neighborhood response team, which is an undercover street crimes unit. And they're regularly, every day, compiling information on not only gang members, but also career criminals in the city of Fort Wayne.
We're talking about shootings and the recent homicides in the city of Fort Wayne. And we want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, 260-452-1185. Or you can call toll-free 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Agent Crawford, I think I interrupted you there. No?
No, Bob, that was a very good question. You know, the FBI utilizes what it refers to as the enterprise theory of investigation. And part of that way of going about its investigations includes... As you put it, creating this map, if you will, so that we know not only which individuals are part of which gangs, but are there certain individuals that are responsible for possibly the drug trafficking? Some are maybe more the gun guys. Maybe these individuals that are part of one particular gang, maybe your robbers. And the FBI is what we refer to as an intelligence-driven agency. Okay. And so intelligence gathering is very important to us, and we utilize confidential informants, we utilize social media reviews, liaison with our state and local law enforcement partners. Chief York mentioned ComStat every Thursday morning, meeting and sharing information and intelligence. And then what we do is we take all that information and we pass it along to FBI intelligence analysts, and then they put it into a nice format for the agents to be able to look at and say, okay, now I understand. Now I understand that these individuals are part of this gang, and this gang rivals with this gang. This gang is allies with this particular gang, and it gives us a very good footprint of what's going on in a particular jurisdiction.
You know, I'd just like to add, too, that it gets really complex when you realize that the faces are changing all the time. These are not static groups. You know, we call them cliques now, but the faces are changing all the time. They're evolving, splitting off. And I think that's partially due to a reason for the violence, too, is because there are so many factions now that they seem to be.
Dave Crawford.
And along those same lines, that's why it's so important that these ComStat meetings that we attend at the Fort Wayne Police Department are held once a week. It's not once a month. It's not quarterly. So there's a consistent flow of information sharing amongst all these different agencies.
Are one of the short-term goals then, Chief, we can start with you on this. Well, ultimately, you're trying to get these folks off the street. You're trying to get them put away where they can't hurt other folks. But is part of the short-term goal then to try to find some stability between these groups? Because you mentioned there that the instability, the splitting off of different factions, adding new faces, maybe losing some others, that doesn't sound like a situation that allows for, let's call it leadership to take hold and some sort of stability in that group to take place. You know, Beefs gets expanded out.
Well, again, it's very complex. I think, obviously, as law enforcement, many times the best thing we can do is get these people off the street. Mm-hmm. You know, with the Fort Wayne Police Department, you know, addressing some of the other issues, you know, we do have school resource officers in all of our city high schools, our public high schools, who, you know, really work on conflict mediation and talking to these young folks. But I'm really encouraged lately how involved the community has gotten. And they don't have all the answers, but they're searching for what they can do. They realize, you know, the police department can only do so much. And what is it as a community they can do to address some of these issues? Yeah, I'll say another factor, a major factor, is just all the guns we have out there. And, you know, as David can tell you, I mean, these kids, they all have firearms, and that just exacerbates the problem.
Adrian, Dave Crawford, is that the case? So where are these kids getting their weapons in the first place?
Yeah, the gun violence is out of control, and I think there may be a myth out there that there are truckloads of guns coming in on semis and they're being distributed by some sort of organized crime group, what have you. But I believe, and the chief could probably comment on this as well, that many of the guns that end up in the hands of gang members were stolen at one point or another from legitimate gun owners, either through burglary, robbery. You're right that the gun violence is a huge problem, and that's really at the root of all this. But to say that, you know, there's some sort of organized method of bringing guns into the city of Fort Wayne, into Allen County, I see it more the result of
it's more of a piecemeal approach.
Yes,
to
correct.
Getting basically an armory for your group.
I agree with that 100%. And, you know, in addition, as David mentioned, the thefts and burglaries, we do see the straw purchases as well, where some of these gang members are ineligible to purchase a weapon. So typically they have a girlfriend go in and buy that weapon at either a gun shop, but more frequently, you know, some of the gun shows we have at the Coliseum.
I have just one question here from a listener before we have to get to our news break, and either of you can jump in on this. It was just a message that was left with us here. Bruce asks, what do you all know about the mind of a gang member? We were talking earlier about intelligence gathering. What do you know about how, you know, the profile of your average, let's call it, gang member? Are they younger? Are they older? What are they looking for in the first place?
Well, I would say they're younger, typically late teens, through their 20s. And this might sound crazy, it's almost a sense of naivety. I mean, it's like they're living in a reality show that, you know, they get upset with somebody, pull a trigger, and think, you know, they're going to go to a commercial break then later and it's all going to be over with. I mean, they just live on the edge, irresponsible. You know, it's difficult. I can't give you a profile of the average gang member. I would say typically they're involved in, as Dave mentioned, other crime, typically robbery, burglary, drug sales. Typically, I would say high school dropouts.
You would think that most of these folks too are living in poverty or close to it.
I would say so. You know, I think they're, you know, living the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's just money day to day probably.
Dave Crawford, I saw you nodding over there a moment ago.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. I would like to back up if you don't mind, to the gun issue. And I do want to mention that, you know, our partners at the ATF are doing a great job of dealing with felons who are in possession of weapons, be it a traffic stop by a Fort Wayne officer of a felon who's in possession of a weapon, or it be during the course of some other sort of investigation. The ATF does a great job of getting involved early and often to do what it can to take these cases to federal court, so that again these dangerous folks can be taken off the street.
We have to take a quick break here for the news. We're talking during this hour of Midday Matters about the recent shootings and homicides in Fort Wayne, and we want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment for Fort Wayne Police Chief Rusty York or Special Agent Dave Crawford of the FBI, we want to hear from you. 260-452-1185. You can always email us middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
Nurse Charlie Cullen worked in 8 hospitals and killed dozens of patients before being arrested in 2003. On the next Fresh Air, journalist Charles Graber, author of The Good Nurse, a true story of medicine, madness, and murder, explains how Cullen was able to evade detection for 10 years. Join us.
This afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOI News. A Fort Wayne fighter wing is undergoing an inspection to assess compliance in flying, maintenance, support, and administration. 68 Air Force inspectors are visiting the Air National Guard base in Fort Wayne for the assessment. Fighter Wing Commander Colonel David Augustine calls the inspection the most comprehensive compliance inspection since the unit's inception in 1946. The inspection program was originally developed to reduce costs and boost efficiency. The Air Force inspects all activities at the base at the same time instead of inspecting different sections at separate times. Major Brian Sittler says the Air Force has reduced the number of days they spend on a unit during inspections and cut back on the number of inspectors sent to a unit. Legislative leaders referred to the April revenue forecast as key in budget negotiations earlier this session, but as the forecast's release gets closer, its potential impact is being downplayed. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports.
The April revenue forecast, which predicts the strength or weakness of state revenue growth in the coming months and years, was publicly considered vital to determining the outcome of budget negotiations and particularly the fate of Governor Pence's income tax cut proposal. But now, Senate President Pro Tem David Long says the forecast's biggest impact will likely come only if the predictions are dire.
You know, with our unemployment situation and with a lot of unknowns still with the economy, it is flatlining right now. That could mean that, we have to rethink our tax cuts.
House Ways and Means Chair Tim Brown says what he's most interested in is changes from the December forecast to the April forecast.
Is our economy in this fourth quarter looking like it's still crawling out of the recession, or is it flatlining, or is there even the possibility that there's decline of economic activity in the first quarter?
The answer to those questions will be unveiled Tuesday morning when the April forecast is released. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
Officials for the U.S. State Department and the United Nations will be in Fort Wayne on Thursday to learn about refugee resettlement and groups involved in those efforts. The Journal-Gazette reports the Director of Refugee Admissions for the State Department and the Regional Director of the U.N. High Commissioner for Refugees will be in the northeastern Indiana city to meet with Mayor Tom Henry, resettlement agencies, service providers, advocates, and the refugees to see how communities are coping and whether any changes are needed. Catholic Charities of the Fort Wayne South Bend Diocese have helped people exiled by political, religious, and ethnic persecution to resettle in northeastern Indiana and north central Indiana. More than 2,700 Burmese refugees have moved to Allen County since 1993. And fraternal clubs and veterans groups in Indiana are taking in more money in gambling proceeds at a time when regular casinos continue to report declining revenue. The Journal Gazette reports that recipients statewide from charity casino gambling and such clubs grew to more than $15 million last year, up from $1.4 million in 2008. Gaming Commission figures show that in Allen County, where Fort Wayne is located, five such organizations brought in more than $5.7 million in 2012, more than a third of the state total. One fraternal order of Eagles chapter in Fort Wayne led the way with gross recipients totaling $2.5 million. You're listening to 89.1 FM WBOY Fort Wayne. Now back to Midday Matters.
It's 18 minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock. This is Midday Matters on WBOY. I'm Sean Beter, along with Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel. And with us this hour, Fort Wayne Police Chief Rusty York and Special Agent Dave Crawford of the FBI. We want to hear from you this hour. We're talking about recent shootings and homicides in Fort Wayne so far this year anyway. And we want you to give us a call with your questions and comments. 260-452-1185. You can always email us middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. Bob Kaler.
I'd like to ask both of you this. I think that it's been my impression from just from covering some crimes that more often when guns are involved in a crime, not shots don't have to be fired, but when a felon has a gun or when somebody possesses a gun without a license, that kind of thing, it's my impression that federal charges hit harder than state charges and that federal charges are more likely to be carried all the way through the disposition of the case, not given up in a plea bargain. What's your impression of the state versus federal treatment on gun charges like that?
I'll go and comment on that. If you know, one of the benefits to law enforcement in having an investigation be prosecuted in the federal court system is that in the federal court system, when an individual is sentenced to prison, he or she must serve 85% of that original sentence, period, the end. No exceptions. So there's no day-for-day good time. There's no, well, he was good in prison. He did what he was supposed to do in prison, so we'll let him out. You know, this 10-year sentence turns into a 2-year sentence. So that's very attractive to law enforcement because law enforcement officers put a lot of time and effort into these investigations, and they want to see that their work they're rewarded for their work. And one of the ways is they see that violent folks get taken off the street for a long period of time. There are also mandatory minimum sentences that are in place in the federal system. For example, if a gun is used in a drug transaction, the amount of time that the individual can be sentenced to is greater than if he just committed a drug transaction without a gun. Same is true for bank robberies. So there are a lot of enhancements that can be brought to the forefront in a federal investigation, in a federal prosecution.
Are those additional enhancements set, or are they on a progressive scale? If it's crime X, then you get X number of years on top of everything else?
Yeah, it does depend on the crime. Number one. And number two, it also depends on the subject's criminal history. So if you have someone who's already committed 3 robberies and they go out and commit a 4th with a gun, with a fully functioning gun, obviously the sentence is going to be greater than if it were the first time they committed that robbery with a gun.
Looks like we have a question here from an email correspondent. James says, we talked just a little bit about this, but please speak to the law and the penalties for gun trafficking and straw purchases in the state of Indiana at the federal jurisdiction. Also, can law enforcement agencies always trace the history of firearms that are involved in a crime? What can be done to address those issues? And Agent Crawford, we'll put this to you. Is it difficult to pin a weapon on an individual crime?
Well, as far as tracing weapons, that can be difficult. And the reason why is if we were to seize a weapon that was used in a crime. We'd trace that weapon through the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. The trace may only go back to the legitimate owner, all right? So if a legitimate owner purchased a weapon in 2005 and that weapon was stolen in 2006, there's no legitimate record from 2006 on. Because the person that stole the weapon obviously isn't going to the government and saying, "All right, I have possession of this weapon now," and then he sells it on the, you know, on the street to another individual. That individual is not, "Well, I just purchased it from gang member so and so." So it's very difficult in that aspect to have a very legitimate trace of a weapon.
I'd just like to add too, this is why I really believe in the universal background checks is. Most people don't realize this, but the only people that do background checks are the federally licensed firearms dealers. So you go to one of those dealers, purchase a firearms check, they do a universal background check. The government doesn't keep that information. The dealer does. And when we do background checks through ATF, they go back to the dealer because those records are privately held. There's not a national database with every gun in there and who owns it. But we have to capture that other 40%, as Dave mentioned. If I want to go out on the street and sell a gun to my neighbor, it's not a big deal. I mean, there's 58,000 firearms dealers in the United States, and they say that 90% of people live within 10 miles of a dealer. So we, as chiefs of police, feel that we should make these checks universal. If you want to sell a gun to somebody or buy a gun, you do it through a gun dealer. They do a background check. The firearms dealer keeps that paperwork. But it does then, if ATF gets involved, they can go back to that private dealer and at least see the last purchase.
Let's be clear. This was something we probably should have gotten to at the very beginning of the program. Of the 11 UCR homicides so far this year in Fort Wayne were all related to firearms? Were all those deaths brought on by guns?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Looks like we have a caller on the line here as we're continuing this conversation about shootings and homicides in Fort Wayne this year. We want you to get in touch with us. Just 10 minutes left in the program, 260-452-1185, or you can email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Let's open the phones and see if we can get CJ on the line. CJ, you're on Midday Matters.
Good morning. Hey, I would like to challenge an assertion made by one of the guests that gun shows here in Allen County in particular are a source for firearms for these gang members. My experience in going to many gun shows over the years here in Allen County is that couldn't be a more hostile environment for people that are representing the gang lifestyle. Never saw anyone, black or white, show up in a show like that. People are much too conservative. This is not the kind of a place they're going to show up. So I would ask the agent, I think it was, where the information comes from to make that assertion, and I'll take my answer offline.
CJ, we appreciate your call. Thank you very much. It looks like you were going to jump in.
Actually, I was the one that brought that up. I wish I could blame Dave, but I can't. But it doesn't necessarily have to be the gang member that goes and buys that gun. There's no background check. Anybody can buy firearms in there and take them out and sell them to whoever they want to. And that's typically what we're running into.
It's surrogacy, not necessarily the members themselves.
Correct.
We do need to take just a quick break here, and we'll continue this discussion. In the meantime, we hope you'll get in touch, 260-452-1185, toll-free, 800-471-9264. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
Nurse Charlie Cullen worked in 8 hospitals and killed dozens of patients before being arrested in 2003. On the next Fresh Air, journalist Charles Graber, author of The Good Nurse, A True Story of Medicine, Madness, and Murder, explains how Cullen was able to evade detection for 10 years. Join us
this afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
Advertisers are creating computerized ads that listen to consumers and talk with them.
The human brain is built for speech, so anything that sounds like a voice, our brains just light up.
And that's why businesses could bank on us treating virtual voices like real people. Interactive voice ads, later on All Things Considered, from NPR News. This afternoon at 4, here on WBOI.
On Talk of the Nation, we tackle the news, the issues, and the stories that you want to know more about. I'm Neil Conan. Join us for analysis, perspective, and voices from across the country. To hear what the country's talking about, it's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This afternoon at 2 p.m. here on WBOI.
It's just 8 minutes before the top of the hour. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Midday Matters. With me, Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel, Fort Wayne Police Chief Rusty York, and Special Agent Dave Crawford of the FBI. We're talking about the recent shootings and homicides in Fort Wayne, and we want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, 260-452-1185. Toll free, 800-471-9264. Of course, you can always get on our Facebook page or on Twitter and send us a message that way, or email middaymatters@nipr.fm. We had a question here from Dale from a few minutes ago. Dale wants to know, is there a way he can contact the FBI or I would imagine Fort Wayne Police if he or somebody else has information? Dave, a good way to contact you.
Yeah, anyone who wants to come forward with gang-related information or any sort of violent crime information can contact the FBI here in Fort Wayne at 426-5331, 426-5331.
And as far as the Fort Wayne Police Department goes, if anybody has information on a crime, they can call our detective bureau at 427-1201. Or if they want to give information about a crime anonymously, they can call Crime Stoppers at 436-STOP.
All right. Then we'll put those numbers up on our Facebook page after this program is over as well. Just a few minutes left in the show here. I know there are a lot of folks who want to get their voices in on the conversation. Let's open the phones and go to, we've got Greg on the line. Greg, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Well, good afternoon. My question is, on the straw purchases, how many have we caught in our area, and how many have been prosecuted? Because in national statistics, according to the FBI, it's less than 1% of the laws that are on the books as far as with gun issues, with wrongful purchases and stuff that are being ignored.
Gentlemen?
I can't, Rusty York, I can't give any particular statistics. I think we should have the ATF here to really address that, because that's their area of expertise. But, you know...
But see, here's the issue. We all know what the truth is. And until we come to the truth, just like you were talking earlier about drugs on war, on war on drugs, let's just put it real easy. A simple way to solve the war on drugs is very simple. If your country is suspected of bringing drugs into our country, either we can come in and take them from the people that are doing it, i.e. in Mexico with the gangs, the drug lords down there, or it's an act of war, and we're going to go to war with you, because they do call it on a war on drugs.
Okay,
I think
we need to clarify that Chief York doesn't have a foreign policy arm. He can't get involved in things at that level.
I'm not sure. I agree with you 100%.
The fact is,
as a whole, we have to stand up for the facts are facts, and we have to follow the laws that our country, which has put forth, and we ignore them.
Greg,
I'll wait to hear your answers.
Greg, we appreciate your call, and you know, Greg does bring up a good point, Chief York, that you know, this is not just a localized problem. Of course, we see kind of the end result here in Fort Wayne, but drugs, gang violence, gun violence has tendrils all over the world.
Well, I was waiting to find out what the truth was, but anyway, it is far-reaching. There's a lot of problems, and I think there's no easy answers. That's the basic thing. We as law enforcement can do what we can do. There's a lot of laws out there. We can't, you know, we do as best as we can. I guess that's how I can answer that.
We have time for one more caller before we have to say goodbye at this hour. Our caller on line two. Good afternoon. You're on the program.
Hi. Good afternoon. How you doing, sir?
Doing well. We have just a few moments here. Please be brief if you can.
Oh, okay. I'll try and do that. First of all, thank you all for having me. I'm here right now. In Fort Wayne, Indiana, there's a lot of solutions. A lot of people have turned a blind eye to it. As citizens, we have to stand up and come out and speak up and get it taken care of. However, I left a message for the FBI agent. I would rather speak with them off the air, but I just want to find out from you guys. Did you guys speak on the issue this morning? There was an issue in Spiron this morning. That bank got robbed, and thanks to our officers, it was a prompt response, and it was taken care of, and, you know, unfortunately, the robbery happened, but it was taken care of.
And we appreciate your call. Let me put that to Chief York. Chief, just a few moments left here, but promptness is obviously an issue when we're talking about responding to any crime, robberies, shootings, homicides.
Right.
Anything.
And our officers have been very aware of our financial institutions, and you know, in light of the robberies that we've had in the past. By the way, we work very closely with the FBI on these through our bank robbery task force. But fortunately, they were in the area. We were able to make apprehensions in that and recover the money, recover a weapon, I think. So,
And before we go here, Chief York, I know you were in Washington, D.C. Just this past week. Tell us a little bit about what you were doing there.
Well, you know, we tried to lobby Congress to go for the universal background checks, the Schumer bill. And, you know, hopefully at least that part of it, the universal background checks will survive. I think that's the best we can hope right now. Thanks.
Well, we have to leave this program here for the moment. There's certainly more to talk about. Fort Wayne Police Chief Rusty York, thanks very much for being on Midday Matters today. Special Agent Dave Crawford of the FBI, thank you very much for joining us again.
Thank you, Sean.
Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel, we appreciate it as always.
Thank you.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in and for joining the conversation today. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 FM HD Channel 1. This is WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester. Fresh Air with your local host Katie Anderson is coming up next. We hope you'll stay with us. Have a great day. It's 1 o'clock.